Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. The Deen Show every week here to help you understand Islam and Muslims, the most misunderstood way of life. Except, you know what, it's the most misunderstood, but this is a phenomenon that it is the fastest growing way of life in the world. That's right. We got white Muslims, African American Muslims, Chinese Muslims, and today we got a Latino Muslim coming on the show. His life is like a it was like a drama, an action-packed movie, and he's here to share his experiences with us. So sit tight, we'll be right back on the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen. This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen.
This is the Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Puerto Rico. Oh, you remember that, huh? How are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, good. So.
Just want to break the ice a little bit. Mashallah, you know? You're on the Deen Show. I'm really excited that you're here. Daniel Hernandez?
Correct.
And Abdullah is your name now?
Yes.
Or, I mean, this is a myth itself. Let's start off. You don't have to change your name when you become a Muslim, do you?
Correct.
You don't have to do that, do you?
No, I don't.
So you're Daniel Hernandez.
Daniel Hernandez.
But people can also call you the Abdullah, the servant of God.
Yes.
Now, you weren't always being called by this name. I mean, let's back it up a little bit. I'm very excited first to have you on the show. You come from a Latino background, Puerto Rican?
Yes, correct.
What's the difference between Colombian, Puerto Rican, Mexican? You speak the same language, right?
We speak the same language, just the dialect is a little bit different. You know, we compete, you know, because of the music as well. You know, they have salsa, we have salsa.
Uh-huh.
And we say it's ours, no, it's ours. And we, you know, there's a little tug of war, you know, historical.
Yeah, but I mean, you can understand each other, right?
Yes, we can, yeah.
How do you say house in Spanish, in Puerto Rican, house?
Casa.
Casa, how about in Puerto Rican?
Same casa.
Yeah. Casa, so it's just little dialect.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So now tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I was raised in a Catholic household. My mother used to be a nun,
uh-huh.
and she used to be in a convent and teach more than 50 students. And then she decided to leave the convent, and she got married with my dad, and she had us. She brought us up always very religious, you know, doing the catechism in our own house. Always teaching us to pray before eating, before sleeping, you know, always keeping the remembrance of God. And she also gave us the freedom to choose. She didn't impose life on us. So I was the smallest one of my brothers, and I always like to make the challenging choices.
How many brothers did you have?
I have two more, me and two other brothers.
Sisters also?
No, just two brothers.
Okay.
Correct. And then I happened to have a low self-esteem, always trying to just convince myself, you know, because I had the bad experience in some schools where I had a dream and the teacher would tell me, you're not gonna make it, you're not gonna be that.
The teacher would tell you that?
Yes, so it will crush my spirit. And so then instead of...
Why would a teacher say something like that?
You know, the teacher was teaching in an environment where she's not familiar with.
Yeah.
She's from a different environment, but she will come because it's her profession.
She's kind of bitter also.
You know, and it's like, so what I did instead of making it easy for her to teach, I made it difficult for her.
Oh, I see. You're a troublemaker now.
So, yes, I used to feel guilty about it, but it was something that it hurt me. And then, you know, through life, you know, other experiences led me to just make the wrong choices. You know, then I started playing basketball. I started playing basketball in high school, you know, and some of my friends had issues, so they would, before the game, start drinking.
Yeah.
Alcohol and so on. And I would, you know, hesitate because I wasn't into it, but there were some factors that made me say, you know, let me just try it.
Now, how old were you at this time when you're about to have your first sip of alcohol?
Yeah, no, this, I mean, I had tried it before, but yeah. This one was for, I really wanted it. Before, I just tried it because it was peer pressure.
Yeah.
You know, but this one was, like, I wanted to try it.
Now you want to be, now you're going to be a man now.
Yeah, like, I was, like 17 that I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And it was a slope going down the hill. So we will be in the games, intoxicated, and the games turn into chaos.
Yeah.
So I ended up going further than that and saying, you know, I saw that, you know, the most of the, in my community, of the Latinos that I know, you know, they either drop out of school or they're just, you know, working in jobs and not getting a degree. So, I mean, friends that I know. So I felt bad about this. I wanted to be proactive. I said, I want to do something about it. You know, I always liked the inspirational movies, you know, like movies like Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Like in these like the movie South Central, when the guy goes to prison and then, you know, in prison he reforms his life and then comes out to the community. And so I wanted to do something like this. So I started looking here and there, you know, what group, you know, and then I said, okay, you know, this group is towards this ethnicity or this nationality. I became curious, you know, and I wanted to be proactive. So I saw this group and I joined it because I
Now, was this some charitable organization you're talking about? Or was this like Change the World organization? Or what was this, like
it was
mafia? What was this?
No, it was an organization, but really, you know, it was what the media portrayed to be. It was a gang.
Oh, so now when I introduced the show, I said, you know, we're going to talk to this brother whose life was kind of like a, you know, like a live action thriller. So now things get really, I mean, when you're talking about gangs, you got shootings, you got killings, you got drugs. Were you heading down that way? This is where things get exciting?
Yeah, they got crazy. And
tell us a little bit without going into details, you know, so because there's a lot of people out there that think this is cool. You know, we're part of familia now.
Yeah.
So they think this is the way to go, not knowing that, you know what, you either end up in jail or dead. So we don't want people to go down the direction so they can connect with you who are actually high up in the ranks, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the crazy things that were going on.
I mean, well, the most...
Did you ever shot at?
No, I never shot at. I did had...
No, did you ever get shot at?
No. Uh-huh. No, I never got shot at and never shot. I mean, I had... There was times where things were going to take place, but it was something that I had the feeling I wanted to do it just because I was loyal, but somehow it never went down. And, you know, I know that there, you know, within the organizations, there were people that I had a friend who was very educated, but by the Qadr of Allah, you know, the destiny of Allah, he happened to be raised without a father in a shelter.
Yeah.
But when he was in high school, he was a valedictorian.
Yeah.
But he ended up in the streets. So now, you know, he's supposedly my brother in this group, and he needed a place to stay, so I told him to stay in my house.
Yeah.
You know, but there were things that happened, you know, I'm going to say things that happened in 1 year span. And this is where there's that turn where I come in contact with Islam.
Let's hold right there. That's saying we got to go to a break.
Okay.
Hold your place. We'll be right
back.
Inshallah. God willing. Sit tight. We're back with more here on the Deen Show.
I just want to say, very simple. Masjid.
One of the beautiful things about our religion of Islam is the emphasis on direct ritual and prayer to God directly. There is no intermediary.
The lights will go on after the party, and the party will end.
It's very simple and very clear. There are no superstitious rituals, no strange incantations.
Time is running out. We might not make it till tomorrow. And this is something that we need to think about.
Back here on the Dean Show with Daniel. Daniel, my brother. See, people, you know, they don't understand that there's a brotherhood here. We worship one God. Him alone, not what He created. And we pray together. We fast together. We do good things together. And we're brothers. Correct. Isn't it? You could be from China. You could be from Japan. You could be from Puerto Rico. And we come together in Islam and we're brothers. Isn't that beautiful?
Yep.
Yeah. So, again, I'm excited that you're here with us. Now, before we get into this Islam, where you took a turn and you know, simply for our, our brothers in humanity, the not-yet-Muslims, I call them, people... who potentially, like all of us, have this ability to submit to God. And this is what Islam is calling you, to submit to the one God. Not to a man or a woman, not to a messenger or a saint, but the one God who created all these things. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So tell us now, before you took a turn in this beautiful direction, again, you were experiencing everything that the average person was experiencing. Was there any joy, fulfillment, peace in any of these things that
no,
you
there
were
wasn't.
I experiencing?
Mean, see, the one of the things that I would ask myself when I got into this group, I began to ask myself, what's my purpose in life? So I would say, okay, I'm gonna make money. So then I will go down that route, you know, trying to, you know, make as much money as I can. You know, the quicker the better. So then I ended up having money, but still not being content. So then I said, you know, if I find a partner, you know, I might be happy. So I go in here, you know, start going, you know, and I was raised with my parents, and my parents, you know, they showed me a model. And when I, you know, I see that the what the Prophet taught us how to be a husband is similar to the way my dad dealt with my mom. You know, they were married 30 plus years. So I saw this. So whenever I tried to have a girlfriend, I felt that this wasn't right. I wanted marriage. I wanted something like real, but I said, I want that feeling. So I began going with girls and I still didn't feel content. Then I said, you know, then
no
what
peace
is
and
it?
Happiness.
No peace and happiness, no. Always saying, okay, then let me just, you know, be loyal with my friends and, you know, have fun, play basketball, you know, hang out in the streets after basketball, you know, let's go, you know, like drink some 40s and so on. And still, at the end of the day, wasn't happy.
Dead end every time?
There was always a limit. The happiness is like an illusion.
Yeah.
Like
chasing the mirage. There.
It's chasing a mirage, exactly. So then I began to, being in this group, you know, some members will do things and still represent or carry like the uniform of the whole organization. Then they end up giving us a bad name. So all of a sudden I'm coming out of my house and the cops come, snatch me up, put me in the car, you know, come with us. I'm like, what did? I just woke up. Oh, you robbed this house. I said, I just woke up.
So they did it. You didn't do it.
Yeah. So
you're getting pinned because of
others,
your friends.
Uh-huh.
Because you're hanging with them. You're associated.
Correct.
You're affiliated with
Correct.
These bad elements, and now it's coming back on you.
So
huh?
So sometimes, you know, there will be, you know, robbery will take place. You know, sometimes just for fun, okay, let's say somebody, you know, we want to take something from someone, we'll do it. But whenever that was done, I always felt guilty. I always felt like, you know, if I take this person's money, you know, that could be for their family, that could be for their kids. So I always felt guilty, you know. And then I began asking myself, you know, what is going to happen today? Am I going to die today? Am I going to go to jail today? You know, is my mother going to get hurt as she's walking with me just because I got a label and others are misrepresenting this group? You know, and then it became like a majority. And then the people that I trusted that I look up to, they ended up, you know, I'll tell you the story briefly. I happened to be in the Puerto Rican parade in New York.
Singing Puerto Rico.
Yeah, you know. And two of my friends that I thought they were amongst the lawyers, they were with me. And then the next day I'm in work, I see them in the news. Mm-hmm. They got killed.
Dead.
They got killed.
They're not walking earth anymore.
They got killed.
Finish.
Why?
Wow.
By who? From the same circle.
The same gang.
Some of the people that I trusted.
The same gang. Family. Yeah. The supposed family. Mm-hmm.
So one of them, the interesting thing is that before that happened, remember I said there was a friend that was living in the street and I told my mom to please let him stay in my house. This friend, the one that lived in the shelter, one of those people that killed my friend had told him, okay, that the Quran has wisdom.
So now the Quran, which we know is the verbatim word of God, gets mentioned here.
Gets mentioned, yes. So that friend of mine, when he's staying with me in my house.
Now, who said this now? The one that got killed?
The one that's in jail right now doing 35 to life because of
he
that
was
murder.
Reading it in the
outside. No, outside. Yeah. So he advised my other friend and that he told him that the Quran has wisdom. Mm-hmm. So me and my friend, when he was staying in my house, we went to the library, public library, and he was interested because he was a reader.
Yeah.
See, I was more into basketball. Mm-hmm. And we got like 5 books out. And then finally, in New Jersey, we reached our limit. But we came across the Quran. It's like, okay, we can't take it out now. I said, don't worry, I got it. So I ended up taking the Quran from the public library. And we left it in my house. It wasn't read. But that friend moved out. And then that's when my friends got killed and some incidents happened that made me really like think about life. Then I happened to be out with some friends. The result of hanging out, of, you know, drinking, loyal, saying you will die for your brother, you will die for your friend, but they might not be ready to die for you. So what happened was I ended up going to jail because of my friends again. So it was all this being in there just for one day made me really think and say, you know, I want to be home. I want to wake up at whatever time I want and go into my refrigerator and eat whatever I want, wake up at whatever time I want. I don't want to be in here. So I said, you know what? I'm going to change. So that thought led me to when I came out of jail, the only one that bailed me out was my mother. None of my friends.
Gang member friends.
No, and even though I was in position, nobody.
You had some rank, still they didn't come and get you.
Nobody came to help me. Nobody
except
came.
Except your mother.
Except my mother, the one that every day was stressed out, worried about me. Wow. So when I came out, I began to ask God for guidance. So I went to different churches and I started collecting Bibles. And then as I'm in my house reading, I remember that I had the Quran. Now I had known a little bit about Islam, but I wasn't interested in it through basketball because when Michael Jordan retired, you know, I used to love the Bulls and then I'm like, who's gonna be my favorite team now? So then I picked the Knicks because it was local, I could see the games. So then also, it was in the finals, the Knicks versus Houston. So my brother liked it, Houston. And then as I was observing the game, seeing Hakeem Olajuwon fasting in the playoffs, you know, was really impressive. And then another player that I really liked, his style of play that I try to emulate was Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf from Denver, who his name used to be Chris Jackson. Mm-hmm. So I came in contact a little bit about with information about Islam. But after that, when I decided to look into the truth and read the Bibles, I opened the Quran and I said, you know, I'm just going to take whatever benefits me and I'm going to leave it. You know, whenever it says Allah, I'm just going to say God because I don't know what it means. I'm not used to saying Allah.
Yeah.
So then as I'm reading and I read the first chapter, you know, at a time when I would go to my room, lock the door, prostrate and cry, saying, God, you know me better than myself. Show me the right way and I will not look back. I will leave everything behind.
Show me the right way and I will not look back. That's it.
Meaning to my previous lifestyle.
Let's hold off right there. Don't lose your place. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with more with my brother Daniel, your brother, here on The Dean Show. Sit tight.
On the outside, everything looks good. You see the $100,000 cars. You see a lot of diamonds. You see a lot of females, and they think that this is, you know, this is the life. This is like, you know, paradise right here on earth.
It's not anyone's job to go into someone's heart and change their heart. Your job is to tell people what the truth is.
And the reality of it is, while we're sitting here, while I'm sitting here constantly paying for the disease, the cure was free.
Back here with Daniel, letting us in on your story, coming in from doing what just everyone is doing here, just, you know, chasing the material thing. Money's not bringing you happiness. This family, the gang's not bringing you happiness. You witness some of your good friends who got killed by the same organization, confusion, chaos, and now you're ready to get serious and you get the Bibles, and you get a Quran, and what happens now?
As I was reading, I said, you know, I'm going to look at these books with no prejudice. I'm just going to look and seek for guidance. So at the same time, I would pray. Sometimes I would, you know, I would want to go outside and drink, but I'll say, no, I'll stay in the room. I'll read, you know, and then I felt better.
You were serious now.
I was actually having an internal battle with myself. So as I spent some time reading the Bible, and I came across the Quran, and the first chapter of the Quran, at a time when I'm like, who am I going to ask for help? Who am I going to worship? So then I said, as I read the verses in the first chapter that said, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, you alone do we worship, and you alone do we ask for help. I said, that's what I'm going to do. And then I read the commentary, and it said the first step is to look for the way, and it's difficult. And the second step, once you find the right way, is to accept it. And the third, after you accept it, is to stay in the right way. So I said, you know, I'm going to stay. So I continue reading. So I spent 9 months reading the Quran consistently. But
what happened to the Bible?
I was comparing.
Yeah.
But there was one thing that turned me off when I went. I decided to go to church in the middle of the day to pray. And what took place is that it was closed. So I got upset. I'm like, why is it closed? If somebody's in need at any time of the day and they want a place where they could concentrate and worship, it should be open for somebody that, you know, somebody could be on the verge of maybe committing suicide.
Yeah.
That option has to be there. So I said, you know what? That's it. I'm not going to go to church. So then I just continued reading the Quran, and the good thing that this Quran had some commentary with biblical verses. So what I would do is whenever a biblical verse came up, I would go and refer to the Bible to see if it was what it was saying was true. And I spent 9 months reading the Quran, and then I said, I'm Muslim. Whenever I read a verse that said, you know, like, read the Quran, fast, I would fast until I had pain. I didn't know when to finish, so I would fast. If it said pray, I would pray and go give charity.
So how would you pray? How would you do these
things?
I would just make
prostration with my intention, and that's it. Yeah. I didn't know how to, but I just had the intention, and I was taking the Quran as an order. So whenever it had a command, I would try to implement it.
And this God, this creator that you were seeking guidance from, did you have a mental picture in your head? Was it through a human being, a saint? What were you thinking when you were saying, God, guide me?
No, I knew that there was a creator, an unseen creator.
Unseen.
Unseen creator who has the power to do everything beyond human comprehension. So I just trusted it.
You didn't go through Jesus or through Muhammad Moses?
As I read the Quran, it became the doubts and the unanswered questions that I had before became answered, which is, you know, the belief in Jesus. So I, through reading the Quran, it became clear that he was a messenger of God, and he will come the second time, and I accepted it. It became more understood. So in after 9 months, in 11 years ago, I accepted Islam and decided to serve God and serve humanity through the service of God. So I continued learning, and it happened to be that as I began reading the Quran, my mom sometimes would listen the English translation, yeah. And it was a blessing that in 2 years later, my mother accepted Islam.
The mother that you mentioned earlier, that was a nun?
Correct.
And she accepted Islam?
She accepted Islam.
Yeah.
And then 4 months later, my dad accepts Islam.
Your father, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And then after, I became overjoyed because God answered my prayers for them to be guided, not for me, but for themselves. And they were guided. And so then I made the intention to just work and teach people Islam.
You also went down to study more of the Arabic language, mm-hmm. and to learn more about Islam. You actually went to Egypt?
Correct. As I was in the process of teaching like new Muslims about Islam under the guidance of the local imam, then I went to Egypt to study Arabic so I could be able to understand the Quran, so I could internalize the meaning and be able to teach my children, my wife and children, the Quran. I have 3 children, and my wife, alhamdulillah, she's expecting any day now. And
mashallah.
Alhamdulillah, before I went to Egypt, I had a great gift from Allah that he guided my brother.
Your brother also?
Alhamdulillah, my older brother. And now, you know, after being in Egypt, alhamdulillah, for almost 4 years, I was blessed with meeting good brothers. So I met Brother Mujahid Fletcher from Islam in Spanish. And alhamdulillah, you know, we shared the same goals of helping the Latino community, you know, and educating them about Islam.
Yeah.
So in coming back to the States, you know, I joined them in with the Islam in Spanish project. And
we only have a couple more minutes. So there's a lot of Latinos coming to Islam. Is this true?
Correct. There is around 200,000 as a recent study.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't remember the exact university name, but it was a recent research that was done. In the year 2002, there was a study that said it was like around 40,000. But now it's increasing, and we were blessed today to be to have an open house here locally. And tomorrow we're going to have another one.
Yeah.
You know, and mashallah, we had a good turnout, you know, and we had an event called the Islamic Roots in the Latino Culture.
Now tell us, for those Latinos that are out there also, and there's a lot of people from this community that are Catholic, right? And you got all the saints and, you know, going in the confession box and hear Hail Mary and do this, and this confusion. I've spoken to a lot of Spanish mm-hmm. people also, and they're confused. It's Trinity, this, that, and the other. And now they come to Islam, worship one God, the Creator alone, and you leave all this confusion alone. It's simple, it's rational, it makes sense. And you know what? They can connect with you more because you speak the language. Say something to the Latinos out there that are also in this state. They're looking for peace. Money can't get it. You can't buy a six-pack of peace. Talk to them and try to get them motivated, and they can look you up, where you say Islam in Spanish.
Yes, you could.
Say something. Talk to them in Spanish.
Yeah, la información que le voy a dar es la la página donde pueden encontrar información del Islam es islaminspanish.org. Hay cientos de audiobooks grabados con temas, el verdadero mensaje de Jesús, la religión de la verdad, y tienen en 26 CDs gratis del Corán en español. So
you basically, what you say?
Let me see. Said that you can go to the website
and get these
www.islaminspanish.org, and you have access to all of our audiobooks for free.
Yeah,
online and even on YouTube, we have a section called Islam and Spanish TV. So all of our videos are there, and people have access to see it for free, just to benefit from it and make dua for us, pray for us.
I'm really excited. We were coming to a close. Translated, I'm going to go from English to Spanish. There's only one God. Worship Him alone, not His creation. Tell Him in Spanish. Talk to Him.
Hay solo un Dios. Adóralo a Él solo y no a su creación.
That's it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. May God Almighty, the Creator, Allah, reward you for being with us. And inshallah, this was so short, we're going to have to do a part two.
Inshallah.
So next time you come in town, we're going to have you back.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Inshallah. Thank you very much. And that was our brother Daniel. Went from looking for peace in all the wrong places, but he found it in the way of life that was lived by all the messengers of God. You heard their names before: Abraham, Noah, Moses, Jesus Christ, and the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They all lived Islam. They all taught this beautiful way of life. To acquire peace, that's what we all want, and that's what we all need. And how are you going to get it? Opening up that six-pack, chasing that young lady that's not your wife, or that young man? No, you can't buy it. You need to submit yourself entirely to the one God, the one God who created this whole universe and everything in it, the one God that Jesus prostrated to, and you could prostrate to him too right now, just like Daniel did it. He cleared out any images of God, every false notion that was out there about God. He cleared it out and he asked the Creator earnestly, guide me, guide me, guide me. And that's what you got to do. Do it in Spanish. Do it in Chinese. Do it in Mandarin. Whatever it is, just do it. Do it, and then from there, be courageous enough to submit and follow the truth and come back here every week to the Dean Show. You can go to the website islaminspanish.org. If you have some of your friends who are out there who want to learn more about this beautiful way of life, but they don't speak English, you can, for your Latino friends and brothers, direct them there. They have CDs, audios, and remember to pick up the Dean Show DVD. Make copies of it. Share this message of peace with the world. We'll see you next time, inshallah, God willing. Until then, peace be unto you.